Coming
like
down.
like a little pork chop on the side over here, isn't it?
I gotta have a little sideburns.
Okay. Wow. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, no, you're good, Mike.
Okay.
Oh, shucks.
We're good. He's on his way down.
Well, that's great, because I'm going to go to, before Chuck, I'm going to go to the approval of the consent items. Just for the record, item number C, like Charlie on our agenda here on the 21st of May, 3 o'clock. Mm-hmm. The first item is a request for approval of the district bills to be paid. Warrants 473 through and including 496 in the amount of $63,458.35. Item number two is a request for approval of the minutes for the meeting to be held on February 26, 2019, March 26, 2019, and April 16, 2019. Trustees, any comments, questions, or suggestions for any of those items? Items one or two? Ron?
No.
I move that we approve the consent items as read.
Motion accepted and
seconded.
Great. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Blake, I'm going to move to item number E like Echo. Are there any things you have for our meeting right now that can be discussed, or do they all need to be saved for anything else?
I think we better discuss in
a closed session.
Yeah.
Which would be on today's agenda. That closed session would be item number I, if I remember correctly. No,
okay.
IJ. Okay, great. Super. That, then we're waiting for Chuck Palmer for the district financials. Excuse me, district financials. And Mark Miller's got a couple of things. He'll be here at about 4:15. So we'll go through the agenda. I'm going to move on right now to, in the interest of respect of all your time, to trustees, if it's okay with you, to the manager's report. And Roy, I'll have you just to go ahead and start on item 7, and let's keep going until Mr. Palmer gets here.
Okay. So the first part of this is the report on the sewer system and what's going on with it. The ponds are surviving still. It's just unprecedented flows coming into it. Sometimes we'll see as much as 200 gallons a minute coming through the grinder station. Yeah, it's crazy. And then even more at the bottom, because then you're combining the top of the mountain with the bottom, and it's all snow melt is going into the lift stations.
So do we know where the infiltration is occurring?
It's mostly on that one. It's down on down by the Bingham's.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where that lift station sits down, that funnel where the snow and everything just funnels into it. It's melting like crazy. So that's a fix that we've talked to engineers about. And we had that discussion with the county that'll have something to be done there. That's crazy. We are getting some infiltration also off of some of the manholes. They're not sealed up properly. And so the water's weeping in through the sides of it. And I discovered that when I was up doing the repairs on the air vacs. And by the way, part of the report on the sewer system is I put two new air vacs in. We purchased those, you'll see in the bills, they're about $1,100 a piece. We put those on because they froze. So we put the new ones in, they seem to be working okay. I talked to the engineers about how to utilize and put some pressure gauges on them to try and get the manage them a little bit better and see when they're functioning, if the spring tension, the tension in their springs are right inside of them. Those have to be adjusted based on actual pressures that we're seeing in the system, and so we're working on fixing that. But as I was in there working, there's so much infiltration coming in through those unsealed manholes, which should have been done as part of construction, that literally I just filled my drawers and my shoes and everything full of water, because you don't have that much room to work. You bust up against the wall and it's just running down. There's nothing to do. You just got to deal with it. And so, but it was pouring in to the extent that it was just running through the walls of those. But that creates a big problem in the entire sewer system if those are not sealed up properly. We're good on all the old stuff. We're checking all of the old manholes down at Powder West in that area. They did a good job of putting that together. Those are all sealed up very well. We're not getting infiltration on almost anything. The only place we're seeing water problems is right down by the grinder station. There's one sitting in the creek. The water was actually, it was so much snow we couldn't find it, but the water's running in underneath the lid. It moved the whole surface of that steel plate up, and the water's just pouring in, but now that's melted and gone, so we're okay. Jed says it's slowing down quite a bit now, a little bit more with these rains, but It's just something we're gonna have to work on long-term with the engineers as well as ourselves, and making sure that we keep those manholes, you know, sealed up, get the water diverted around them.
Do we need to raise them up?
Yeah, there's some places where we will have to raise them. Like the one that's in the canyon right above the grinder station, this sits in the stream, and there's a gap about that big where the water runs crossed it and inside the sewer system. So we'll put that one up about 4 to 5 feet up in the air and seal it really tight.
Do we have the ability with our truck, our crane, or the lift on that to be able to set a new ring and raise them?
Mm-hmm.
Can we do all that?
We could do that there.
Okay.
Yeah, and if not, we'll get some like grade come up and set it. But it needs a full-size cone on it, and not just rings, but an actual cone, get it up in the air. That one's probably critical. The rest of the stuff up on top is just maintenance items and or fixes with this issue with the county and whatever we're going to do. So anyway, so that's a problem. And then the tanks, because this year the ponds are doing pretty good. Ponds 1, 2, and 3 are getting closer to the top. The 3 is about better than 3/4, maybe 3/4 of the way full. 1 and 2 are full. We raised the levels on the dams, the stuff on 1 to get it more capacity in there. And then 3 is, again, about 3/4 of the way. 4 is just getting started. We just need to survive probably another 30 days with this kind of weather. If we do, we'll be fine. But we're getting close.
We're not going to have to request a spill to DEQ.
Yeah,
not even close.
I don't. I think it's to the point where it's starting to worry me. I'm gonna contact them and just see what I need to do to go through that. I guess it's happening all over the state. I've talked to some of the other entities and some people managing these systems. Everybody's requesting spill permits because all the ponds are not made for this, and they're spilling everywhere. Several entities are spilling the ponds. So we might be one of them too, but right now we're doing okay.
Good. Well, and just from what I understand is the heavy part for the Ogden River is past. We're past the heavy part of the runoff. So we're not, from a county perspective, we're more worried about Weber side than we are now. We feel really good about up there, from what we're being told.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we've seen. All the low elevation snow melt hit last month, and that was creating some real problems with the ponds and also for Snowflake and also Sheep Creek. But now we're seeing the stuff on the top melting off, and it's going pretty fast. I think if we survive for another 15 days, we'll be all right.
The majority of the melt that's going to impact you is, or us as a district, is done. The rest of it's mostly going to end up in Cache County. So,
Yeah.
Sure.
So anyway, so the sewer system, other than that, everything's functioning okay, and we're just watching it. Got some of the problem areas we found, but again, we did find frozen air vacs on the sewer system. That's a concern long term. If you're freezing your sewer system, that's a big problem.
Yeah.
Big problem. But it was just the air vacs. It appeared that all the mains seemed to be okay, but we don't know. Again, there's a lot of areas we haven't test driven yet, so we don't know. And I'll jump to, we also had a letter we'll send out. Ron, I think, will have a comment that he saw in there to just notice, put the public on notice that we're concerned about infiltration and that we want sump pumps removed from the sewer system if they have none. But Ron, you had a comment on that that you saw. I think we need to make that change in the letter.
Exactly. The statement that the district requires that unauthorized connections be removed as soon as possible seems a little like milk toast to me. And perhaps we should say, have it revised, maybe you can revise
sure.
it to say unauthorized connections to be removed immediately, and then alert them that at the next public hearing, perhaps a series of fines will be proposed.
Forthcoming,
exactly. That a series of fines will be forthcoming.
We'll make those changes.
Okay.
For those who don't comply, a series of fines will be forthcoming.
Right. I'll let the wording be done by.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Fines for lick. I believe it is. It's.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
A series of, I think, Blake, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the word is fees for liquidated damages, I think is how it is, how we term it at the fees for liquidated damages. a series of fees for liquidated damages.
Okay.
So I didn't take notes, but the cut and paste wasn't done fully. There was like something that still said Wolf Creek Water on it instead of
we'll change all that.
And then is there any way to get people to report whether they have a sump pump? Because I know like in my house, I don't have a sump pump. But if we got a list of people that had a sump pump, at least
if they would declare it, most people probably won't. But we could ask them that, I guess, and see.
It would be easy enough to go through the residences and check. I mean, like a house like yours doesn't have it.
No.
I know my cabin didn't have it, so that's three out of four.
It's mostly preserved.
Inspect people's houses.
That's intrusive, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, but we could.
The county should have done that as part of their inspection. They should look for sump pumps. That's a violation. I don't think they allow it either, but we could check the county and see if any inspector.
It doesn't hurt to ask.
Sure. Okay.
If everybody self-reports, at least you have somewhere to look.
I have a friend who took a jackhammer down and jackhammered his basement.
Oh, he made his own?
It's easy to fix after the fact.
Yeah.
So,
To add that in later, you can.
Okay.
Roy, anything else on that item number set? Seven, I thought. Uh-huh. Yep, seven.
No.
No more on that item.
No.
Trustees, anything for item seven? Then let's go back to, we have Chuck Palmer here. Yeah. And we also have, can you introduce yourself?
Yeah, let me introduce you. This is Daniel Rondeau from Sage.
Daniel, spell your last name.
Rondeau.
Thank you. Thanks, there you go, Carrie. Yes,
we have a card that was left here.
That's for you.
I have it.
But you, at our last meeting, you talked about having somebody do an audit of CRS, and Daniel is doing the audit.
Very good. Let's check. Let's proceed. Thank you, Daniel, for being here. Let's proceed with you, if we could, Chuck.
All right. I believe y'all have a copy of the compilation that we...
It's in the front.
Very front of the books.
The very front of the books is your...
Left folder,
right there.
Anyway, we've just done a compilation on, you know, Carrie's QuickBooks and got everything tied back together and balanced and provided you some footnotes and that as far as the financial statements go and that, so that we could prepare the agreed upon procedures that is required by the state as far as your compliance with state law. So, like I said, it's not an audit, it's just, like I said, we've just gone through and we've reconciled all the accounts. Banks are all reconciled, we've gone through depreciation and the accounts payable and accounts receivable all tied, recorded the bonds payable and got the leases recorded on the books properly. And anyway, so like I said, these are your financial statements as of the end of the year. So everything's been adjusted. So I don't know if you have any questions on any of
anything in there. Good.
Yeah, I have
Trustee Wilson. Perfect.
You stated up in the that management has admitted the management discussion and analysis that accounting principles generally accepted in the United States of America requires to be presented to the supplement, the financial statements. And you said such missing information, although not part of the financial statements, required by the General Governmental Accounting Standards Board. What does that mean and what should we be doing?
There, to be a full financial statement, there, if you go look at, say, the city you live in or whatnot, there's a statement at the front that summarizes these statements. And they'll look at this year and last year and just kind of put it into just a management discussion. They'll tell you what's kind of gone on, summarize the income statement, balance sheet. So it's just kind of a summary that's done by Kerry. And
so should that be part of our next one?
If you want it, you can add it on there.
You're kind of calling it out as we're remiss here in not having it.
It's like I said, you're not even required to do this.
Okay.
You know, so like I said, it's totally up to you.
Okay.
You've asked for some financial statements, and so
I agree with Ron on this, though. It is calling it out.
Yeah, I think. Because we're doing a compilation, and for us to do it, we have, you know, that's part of the report. Is
so we could do it for the next year.
You can do it.
It is. I've seen them. It's actually a good thing. Basically, what we'll do is management is just explain why things have changed throughout the year, what happened, and why it looks different each year, what changed, and what the big changes were.
What the big changes are that are coming up, you know, explain the bonds, you know. So, I mean, it's good information.
Yeah.
So like I said, some places don't even have footnotes. And our report would say there's no footnotes involved. So, like I said, you know, it's just...
No.
I've got another one, too.
Yeah. Please.
You said that the district does not have a formal policy for custodial credit risk. Okay? You said... Custodial credit risk is the risk that in the event of a bank failure, the district's deposits may not be returned to it. The district does not have a formal policy for custodial. Is it something we should have? You said the district maintains its data someplace else. Is it something that we should have?
Custodial risk, let's see, what was your bank account?
It's back on page 8.
I'm just trying to see what your bank accounts are. Your bank accounts are not the point where you have you've exceeded the FDIC
limits
in that.
Right.
So, you know, and the other money's in the Treasurer's Trust Fund. So, like I said, you know, if you had all your money all in bank you're using. So if it was all in Bank of Utah, you know, you might be at more risk.
Okay.
And that.
But should we have a policy? I guess that's my question. Because you call it out here. Do we need the formal policy?
At this point, I don't know that you really need a formal policy.
Okay.
You know? So
I mean,
it's something you can look at and see, you know, at what point do you need to look at that? Set that up.
Yeah, it really, I agree. I think it really depends upon the amount of cash that you have. You have FIDCA coverages, whether they're adequate, they cover what you have. The other thing is PTIF has a shared loss in it, and you have to understand that, and that could be part of the policy that everybody's going to share when that loss happens. It's not like, well, I have this much money, I should be insured for that much money. It's in the PTIF account. You're all going to share in the loss when that happens. All kinds of weird things like that, but we could.
Well, the only reason that I even bring it up, I don't think we're at risk in any stretch of the imagination, but when the accountant calls it out, it becomes important to me that they're saying something is perhaps not exactly right or whatever. So I just want to...
Something to consider.
Okay. And then I have one other item.
It has to do since we have financial obligations as trustees, you know, that his point is very well taken.
Yeah.
Here on page 8, you call out straight line depreciation of 50 years for the water and sewer system. But on the next page, you put a depreciation life as being 30 years. So I don't understand what the difference would be.
That may be just a typo on the 5 and the 3. You know, like I said, they probably should have been 50 year. Because your water and sewer is at 50 years. So maybe probably just a typo there.
Okay.
Maybe most of all your big assets are 50 years, your sewer system. Water lines or...
So are we depreciating on a schedule of 50 years or 30 years?
50 your water lines are 50 years or your sewer lines.
That's all the questions.
Thank you.
We provide water and sewerage training.
Okay.
What about trustees? Do you have any other questions? For Chuck?
Now, this other report is the one that needs to be, will transmit to the state of Utah. This is on your compliance with federal or with the state, compliance with the laws. Your accounting records and disbursements and your cash. Like I said, there was no findings. Your meetings are all being recorded properly, being uploaded. So, like I said, yeah, that's a tough one. Like I said, you know, everybody, you know, has had their training as far as the for special governments and grandmas, your bonds. So, anyway, like I said, this is what gets transmitted to the state of Utah. So that's what, you know, we've done. And like I said, yeah, there's no findings this year. I think last year we had.
I also notice we don't have our tanks and our depreciable assets on page 9. We have, has the, forgive my ignorance on this one, I probably should be the one to know this, but the district has accepted the tank, right, at Hidden Lake or no?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But we have the other tanks still.
Yeah, all the older ones should be on there.
There's three other
tanks.
Yeah,
that's kind of my, I think something we need to resolve. I actually talked to our engineer about it, but we need to really find out what we have as far as assets and where they're at and
yeah.
if they're valued properly. So I talked to Mark Miller about that, looking at the sewer lines. Everything is up there aside from whatever this, the developer will turn over to the district, but that needs to be identified, make sure the footage is measured and services and everything else really needs to be identified so we know what we know.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I don't think we do right now. That's part of the problem. I think if we had that, I think the auditors could actually give us a fair number, but that's something that should have been done by our engineer in the past.
We have a full asset schedule.
Yeah, we don't know.
Okay.
So we'll do that this year.
Okay.
So when you talk about assets, and that's astute, but I'll... No, I need to cover that. If someone will remind me, I need to cover that in our closed session. I need to cover assets in closed session.
And we've got the depreciation schedule. That, I mean, it started when you had the other auditor way back.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And we've just added to it assets that have been added. You know,
okay.
So we've got that you can review at any point. So.
Yeah, so we'll get that this year, the review with our engineer, and then we'll look at the maps and all the everything we have and analyze the infrastructure.
Right,
and
right. So like I said, some of it, I mean, it just says pipelines. I mean,
yeah.
It's
all you can do is base on what you know and
yeah.
what we provide you with.
Any questions for Mr. Palmer? None being heard, then we're going to move on. I don't believe this is the time that we have Daniel. We have you report, right? I think we'll have him report in the closed session.
Like, I don't know if Blake would know this, but it seems like the board should approve or accept the review, financial review, should
yes,
they formally?
Sure.
Should at least have a motion that you approve or
Blake,
accept.
Blake, call me out on that. I need your help.
No, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
No, but we should do a motion to approve this.
I'll entertain a motion to either accept or change or whatever you want to do with these financials.
They'll need to be forwarded on to the state. I suspect that probably when we do, based on some of the findings or that are in there, we should respond to those and indicate what maybe what the trustees are seeing, whether we believe they're corrections or how we're going to correct them. That stuff should be added to the state's report too. So
we'll be going to the state will be that. Large survey and the second one. This one does not go to the state.
Yeah.
Just
that one.
And then we'll include some type of a management letter that just indicates what you saw and how we responded to it, how we're going to deal with it.
Providing that's common practice, as you've stated, then I'm okay with that, and I entertain a motion.
I don't understand what's going to the state. This is going to the state? No.
Just
that's the one here.
Okay.
And then there's a large financial survey.
Okay.
That gets transmitted to the state, and that's all it goes to the state.
Because I'd like that 50 years corrected before we submit anything, and
I can change that.
Yeah.
Like I said, yeah.
That's not part.
That's just your. This is your internal. This is just for you.
Okay.
And that what goes to the state is just the second report, and then the kind of the spreadsheet that's a state. put out by the state auditor's office. That's their required format, so that gets uploaded, and that's it. That's all that they require.
At some point, we'll start to have better financial, real financial audits, and as we kind of grow up as an entity, all these other little to-do things we're seeing will start to get better managed, and we'll probably have better detail and everything else. There's a lot more we have to do internally to function like we should as a district.
I move that we accept the district financials.
Thank you. Motion?
I second.
Second that
by Trustee Moyel.
Any other discussion? Ron, you okay with that?
Sure. I just we got to fix this going forward. Is my only point.
I concur. Thank you. Call for the vote. All in favor of approving these financials as presented. Go ahead.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. That motion carries unanimously by those who are.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Palmer.
Okay. Thanks, Chuck. For sure.
Okay, we're going to move back to item 8 on our agenda, which is under our manager's report in G, like golf. Roy, go ahead.
I'll just kind of hurry through. So the only other change we've seen on the water system is, again, another frozen air vac that was damaged from the winter time. The valve froze and split, so we had to shut the system down enough to get in and put the new air vac on. So I just spun a new one on and put a new valve on it, and the air vac was still okay. But other than that, the system seems to be fine. Mark brought up a comment about one of the tanks inside of the Hidden Lake Ski Patrol Lodge. That actually is down. We're going to clean that soon and bring that back up and get it back in operation. But everything else seems to be fine. We haven't had any major problems. We have seen the usage drop down to now that only 2 foot of drop is going over about 4 to 5 days. So that's very minimal use. I guess you guys had an event last weekend.
We had a wedding last weekend, yeah.
I don't know why, but the usage in that tank just doubled, and then it quit over the weekend. I don't know if they were doing a party. Maybe they filled some swimming pools or something.
Yeah,
or
slash
champagne. But anyway, it settled back down again, so we're watching it real close, but everything seems to be working. We're going to have an electrician go up and go through all of the system, water and sewer, make sure all the control boxes are clean, working right. We had a problem with one failure on one of those old transformers, so transducer that failed, and so we're going to fix all of those, make sure, but I'm going to take him up on Friday, and that's part of, you'll see when some of the items on business items, is to get this electrician on board full-time, not working for us full-time, but on a contract, so if I can call him immediately, he'll know what to do, but he'll go over the system, he'll take photos, log where everything's at, what components are in there, we'll look at updating everything, and so that all the electrical components are functioning and current and technology, Brother Evan, he liked to pull the wires off and just put them where he thought they worked the best, and there's a lot of stuff that's been jerry-rigged in all the boxes, and so just to shake a seat.
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with the term jerry.
Oh, well, it's kind of a...
Who is Jerry?
Maybe that's an Idaho slick...
Okay, right.
...slang. But anyway, we need to go through all those and make sure the wiring's all up to standard so somebody's electrocuted, but...
Who's the electrician?
Johnson Electric. And I think they've done work for you guys.
They've done work.
Mark? But we also had a contract. We have a contract with them, but we haven't signed any professional service agreement with them.
So one thing you might want to have them check that we're having problems with in some of the aging transformers especially. We've had motor failures. And so I brought up, I said, listen, you have 2 motor failures in 2 years on the same lift is not normal. And so we put a power factor meter on it, and their power was horrible. Right? It was coming out of the transformer, we were down around 78%.
Really?
So, yeah, and so it was wreaking havoc with a lot of our electric equipment. So Rocky Mountain Power actually came out and replaced the transformer. So
can they do anything on the other side? Because they've been sending...
They haven't done anything on the other side yet, but I really want them to. Because
that seems reasonable.
Yeah, their transmission lines scare me to death, and we have brownout issues at Timberline even now when there's no load on it at all. So
okay, so they need to really look at that whole thing up there, huh?
Yeah,
Those are old transformers and everything's aged. Okay.
Yeah. So before we start changing out pumps or even installing new pumps in locations, we probably want to get the power factor checked and just make sure our power's clean before we start destroying electronics.
Power factor. That's good. And I'll just speak, and I didn't know that until today about Johnson Electric. There's a company that's decades old around here, and they did decades and decades old, and they're reliable, and they wouldn't still be here, and they do a great job as far as motor reconditioning and rebuilding. It's a great local company for needs of electrical type things.
Yeah, and they're kind of like that hands-on. They're a lot like Mark Miller is. He's up there just digging right with you. But these guys are the same way. They don't overcharge you. They just pay for the work that they do, and they're always right there if you need help night and day. And so it's kind of those kind of people are trying to do with everybody is if you need help, they'll be there. You can trust them. And back up, and so that's what we're hoping to do. And these guys, I've worked with them for a lot of years, and they're a good company, good people.
Great. Any questions more on item number 8?
One question.
Thank you.
Since we're talking water, are we going to have to spill water from the tanks this summer?
Yes.
We are going to have to?
Until that mitigation with Cache County is complete, we're going to have to. That's part of the law.
And when do we think the mitigation will be complete?
It could be this year. I mean, it could be this summer. They're having the meetings right now. They're meeting with them. They've completed most of the mitigation process. And so Laughlin's doing a great job on that banking. But I think maybe another few months. I think he'll have it finished up.
Can we wait for the spill till then?
We might be able to. We have timelines we have to follow. We just have to talk to the engineer about
it.
But
okay.
If they see it's getting close, they may say, sure, it's okay. But
okay.
I don't know.
That was my
I don't know if I dare do that, but it's just something we'll just have to do. We'll make sure we stay on task on it.
Any other questions?
Really,
trustees? Yeah.
Just really briefly, going back to number 7, just to make sure that we comply. I sent an email already to Carrie Boy about this. If you're going to enact any kind of fine, and I agree it should be called fee because that's what is in the code, in the state code, and it can be a fee for liquidated damages like the county uses. But you have to do it in an open public meeting, and it's got to be after 6, and you got to notice it correctly before you. And I would recommend that we have like a fee sheet that they update it, yearly or whatever.
We can add that to the fees that we charge. It's just
right.
A fee for non-disclosure or for whatever. But it was a liquidated damage. That's what it was. I think, and if you look. That's what we've discovered.
So, I mean, I'm just making sure that we comply with that before we go ahead and enact a new fee.
Helpful. Appreciate it. Thank you. Anything else on any of that, trustees, before I move to item number 9? Then let's do it. Number 9, Bloomington Pump House location.
Yeah, so you saw in your packet that they actually moved the pump house up onto the parking lot. I don't know how that affects the ski resort, but they felt it was the best thing to do. It saved Summit probably $250,000 by doing that, and I like it better personally. I wish the other was up there, but anyway, everything seems to work fine. The engineers have looked at the plans I have. I don't see problems with it. I don't know if
you guys got it. That probably works pretty good, doesn't it, for you guys?
Still a few parking spaces.
Yeah, that's the big thing.
But if we have an issue, though,
it's more accessible.
By far. Yeah, the other one's under several feet of snow, so it's a lot harder to get down to. This is so much easier. Everything looked good on it, but I guess it's all bid. The contractor's ready to go. We're just waiting to take off and get started. I'm not sure what that means. They have to get a permit from the county to start, probably. So that's Bloomington Well House and Bloomington Well is underway for the construction of it. That's a good thing, the second source for the developer.
Great.
Yep.
Super. So there's our Bloomington.
Yeah, that's a good thing. And then finally, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, or no, source
number
reduction.
Number 10 and the boundary declaration, actually. So as we started looking through the tax notices, of course, we're required to identify to the county and probably the Lieutenant Governor's office the exact meets and bounds description of the district boundary. And we couldn't find anything on that. I don't know if it's ever been done. I don't know if you guys know. but we couldn't find that. But we started checking properties. We found a few that are not in the district. One of them I talked to Mark about. It's the Sundown Lodge. is just outside of the boundary. We may have to figure a way to bring that in. I know it's a big piece of property. I imagine the Colbays didn't for some reason, but
yeah.
I don't know if it affects you that much as far as money-wise, but it's got to be in the district boundary. And there's a couple of others, so we'll clean that up. I'll get Mark to actually get an exhibit. We may have to work with Blake to actually maybe bring it back to the board and at least ratify the fact that this is the district boundary and the description within the boundary and how many acres it is. And then that goes to tax. The county has to have that for the sake of taxing. They have to make sure everybody that's in there is being assessed. And
would this require a separate annexation process?
It depends on whether you've been billing. Yes, but depending on what track you go on, depends on whether they've been having services or you've been.
Well, Sundown certainly qualify under that criteria.
That just shortens the process. And actually, we have another issue that I just emailed Carrie about. It's exactly the same thing.
So we'll bring that back to you. We just kind of put heads up that it's something we're doing. It's one of those cleanup things that we're doing. So we'll get that fixed and bring it to the district, to the board, and let you look at the map and what the boundary is, and have Mark work on getting that whole survey figured out and the description done. And that'll take an engineer to do.
So for example, with Sundown, you can do it through resolution. This board right here can just do a resolution and start the annexation process. Otherwise, you have to do a petition by the property owner, which wouldn't matter in this case. Imagine someone wants this property annexed in, so that's sure the difference.
Okay. So anyway, it's a cleanup, one of the cleanup items, both to describe the district, the other is to make sure we get all the properties that are being served in the district, and then also to make sure that we have that meets and bounds description done by an engineer so it can be sent. I think the Lieutenant Governor should have that one, but I know the county should have that. The boundaries look okay, but I don't think the description's ever been done. I looked through GIS and it appears to be okay, but we did find a couple holes in it. So we'll fix that.
Super.
And that's it.
Anything else? Okay, trustees, any questions?
No.
We're going to move on to item H on our agenda, which is our business items, a discussion and or action on the storage unit placement.
We, as we mentioned to you a couple of times, we actually bought or rented a small storage unit for a period of time, possibly just until the Bloomington Well House is completed. I think we can use the area inside of there to store things and whatever else we need to, but right now we need to gather all of the stuff that's scattered in Evan's house, Greg Chambers' house, my house, and Jed's house. They are the storage units for the district right now. And so we want to go gather all that stuff up, luckily with Evan, he's been fine. We've had a number of things still stored at his house, pumps and everything. But we don't have, the district does not have a building. It doesn't have anything to put anything in. And that's something
we
need to
do. Ski school?
Oh, hey. Yeah. That's why you
got tanks.
You can store them in your tanks.
Might do that. So there's a number of things scattered around that we need to just gather that all up and get it in there in case one of the employees leaves us or we get rid of them or whatever, that we need to have. We need to have our own tools put away and all the other equipment that we have, hoses and valve boxes and valves and meters and everything else are scattered all over the place and need to be put someplace and locked up. So that's the idea, is put it there and then figure out what we're going to do for the future. It's how much a month, Carrie?
It's three a month. But it's half storage and half office. So we're going to set it up so if Jed needs a place to go sit so he's not sitting in his truck. It's got electricity, so it's half storage, half office.
Probably a little bit bigger than the size of this room.
Where
yeah,
is
it's
it?
In. They right. placed it yesterday.
Yeah, it's right up next to the ski lodge or ski patrol building, right up there on Hidden right. Lake parking lot.
Yeah.
It's sitting right next to the building, and just in case we need some power, we probably can run and plug into something.
It's like one of those metal things that you just.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a picture of it if you want to look at it.
Yeah, but. But anyway, it was something we've got to do immediately. So we've
okay.
got.
Can we afford it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
For a few months, we've got to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's temporary, but it's a place for Jed to go. It's a place to store everything. And
all right.
Yep, got to do it.
So,
does it have a toilet in it?
Nope.
No.
It's $30 a month, is that what you said?
$300,
okay.
That's big money for storage.
Right, I talked to him about Tough Shed or something of that nature.
You know, at that well site, the Kobabe well site, we have an easement there with it, but that, would we be precluded from purchasing a shipping container and pouring a concrete slab there?
Putting one down there?
Yeah. Is there any reason we would be precluded from doing that?
Yes. Temporary building, we'd let us put one there permanently?
That's what it is.
Well, I think the problem is there's also, there's a UTA, or UDOT right away that extends, I think, 75 feet from the center line.
Oh.
It's either 50 or 75 feet, and then there's a county right away that extends 100 feet from the center line.
And parking, so impossible.
Yeah.
Wow, so we have to park. I keep worrying about being able to put a building on that pump, on that site.
Yeah, that's going to be the big
issue. Isn't there
a
municipal service area that's supposed to be set aside for all, for us, the county, and the state? And wouldn't it be appropriate for that area to be identified and us to place some sort of building in that?
Yeah, I brought that up with Don several times. I know they've looked at it. I don't know if, Mark, have you heard whether they actually identified that spot in the master plan, but I know the county's brought it up, and I guess we just pursue it with the county and everybody, and just have the developer figure out where it's at and everybody start heading that direction. But we could do that.
It just seems this is like death by a thousand cuts. You know, we've got all these little things that we're doing, and it's costing us all little money,
mm-hmm.
and if we had an end solution that we could
work towards,
it would seem like it would be a lot better than that. That's just my personal opinion.
I agree.
Yeah, again, I think this is, and we talked about maybe in closed session a little bit more, but I think this is critical that we do at least do this for the time being and get all that stuff out of everybody's house.
I agree. Well, so is there a motion? We probably need a motion on that.
Yeah. Again, it's temporary.
This is just a simple rental contract. Is that what you were looking at?
Yeah, if it's being a couple months or 3 months or whatever.
It's just a month to month until they come pick it up.
Yeah.
But there's a delivery and a pickup fee.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How much is that?
It's three, and it's on this first invoice that we'll pay, but it's $325 or $355.
To drop it off?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what is the plan after the 3 months?
Yeah, $355.
After the 3 months. Well, we'll see how fast we get the pump house built. I mean, there's enough room actually in that generator room to do the same thing.
Okay.
So that's kind of my idea, is just get that. Once
at Bloomington?
At Bloomington.
Where it
there's
went.
Plenty
and
of
potentially
room
at Kobabe as well.
Yeah.
It's a gusher.
Yeah, so other things are coming.
Yeah.
And actually, what's funny is a little bit of room inside of the old booster station right there by Timberline Lodge. They could put a few things, but it's dangerous to get in and out of.
Yeah.
Catwalk everywhere.
So
again, this is just a short fix to get that stuff out of everybody's homes and kept
some place
safe.
Mr. Chairman?
Well, yeah, I would need a motion. Is that the $300 a month and $350 for placement? I'm sorry, Nicholas and I. But is that to have a container moved up there and placed and picked up? So we're talking about $1,050 for 1 month.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about $1,400 for two, and we're talking about $1,750 for 3 months. That's basically what it is.
Mm-hmm.
What would the cost of a purchase be?
We looked into that here. Mm-hmm. I've got it right here.
So before you go there, I'm going to have my attorney wants one. I'm going to have like two or three leftover containers.
Really?
But not until next summer. So if you guys can figure out some carpentry skills and. Use one as a terminal, it's a 40-footer IQs.
That would be good.
Yeah, we paid about the same for the one that we put
that's
up.
That's what I paid for my, I paid $5,000 for mine in Hawaii, actually.
Yeah, we paid 20.
Since it's already been delivered, we're
yep.
kind of committed
we're
to go
committed
down the road.
I'm sorry, I missed that part.
Yeah.
No, it was delivered
yesterday.
Yeah.
Apparently. So we're on the road to Abilene already.
Doggone, I missed the sunrise breakfast. All right.
Well,
there you go. Then let's entertain a motion. And I was going to say we just bite the bullet and get a container, then sell it when we're done, and we'd net out a lot cheaper.
we can still do that after 2 months or whatever.
Yeah,
clarify the space by then and
right.
and really find right. municipal space. Isn't that the agreed upon
that's
goal here?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, that's why we have
the
two
developers
agree
to provide some considerations in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I move that we authorize our administrative staff to engage in a rental agreement for a storage unit.
And a motion. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay.
Would we want to put a time limit on that?
I'd like that idea. It's not to exceed like 6 months or something.
Yeah, not to exceed 6 months.
Sorry.
Is there a second?
Sorry,
we okay with that? If
yeah.
Actually, that's what it's going to be most needed is the middle of winter.
Yes, permanent solution, I think.
We'll have that. Hopefully, we'll have the pump house in place by then. The pump house should be erected and built.
And we'll know what's going on at Cobabe and what the constraints are there and all that.
Can the size of the pump house be changed to accommodate both an office?
I don't think at this point. I think the contract's let and designs are done. And I think to the point that we need something at a municipal facilities center is true. We need a real building, a place to put pipe and fittings and equipment and everything else more than in the parking lot for the ski resort.
But to Mike's point, I mean, we're going to have at least one pump house, additional new pump house, assuming success at Kobe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on the drawing board, as we well know.
Yeah, so that one could very easily be modified if there's room, the one at the new well site. That one could be modified to add a few feet to it.
There's no parking, and as Mark mentioned, there's easements.
I think there's going to be enough room for what we're going to do temporarily in the Bloomington well, pump house, booster, or generator building. Or
you
generator
park on the road, or if it's just us, I think would be okay to park on the road by which we access.
There's no road. Is there? There's
on
no
the
road.
Pump house? No
it
access?
How far
know.
You set it back.
They plow up to the shoulder. Really.
Yeah, and that one they didn't.
You
they,
park. You
yeah, in that area there was probably 15, 20
You're talking
feet.
About the Kobe site.
Yeah, the Kobe
yeah.
site.
So that one, they didn't ever plow back to the mountain. They just plowed it to the edge of the right of way.
And then I'm going to have a bunch of dirt for you guys for the parking lot this summer.
All right.
So I think the buildings, there's plenty of room in those pump houses, no matter what, for the few things that we need to put in those. And a place for our guys to go in and stuff. It solves most of the problem for a few years. I think we're okay. It's just the interim. We just got a few months we've got to deal with. So.
6 months limit.
6 months. Okay. You're okay with it. Sorry, I'm not going to formalize this. Motion, second, and we're good. We're all getting the nods. Let's move on to the amended policies and procedures. Item number 12 on our agenda.
Sorry.
They're not in there because they didn't print them out. They have in their email, they have the other draft. It was this thick.
So, and Blake, I think I'm correct me if I'm wrong, but the state law requires us to update our personnel policies and procedures on a regular basis or an annual basis, which that's the attempt to do is here. And I, off the top of my head, don't remember all the details that's in there. Carrie thought that I was going to pull it out, but do you remember? Because she actually just printed them off.
Yeah, well, when I sent out the board packet, I sent out the copy of what the changes were so you could see what we were actually changing. And so there's just a few things in there. There's things in there that were done, like the nepotism that were in there two or three different times. We took it out, just certain things like that. We didn't change any things. The codes were right. We just took out certain things that had been in there, doubled, reworded a couple of things. I mean, it was no major changes, but I can print them off if you want and show you the changes that we did again.
It seems like we're going to have to table this discussion because the copy that I read had what I would call green line version that had a lot of questions. Somebody was posing questions and just seemed like there was a pretty big decision trees
on
some
that portion,
of those areas.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to table that. I mean,
that's
fine. I'll give you more time to look at
it. And I don't think statutorily we're obligated to do it every so many months or years, even.
It's once a year.
I think it's once a year, isn't it? The statute.
It's once a year that you have to make amendments, but you don't have to make these whole cell amendments.
What's the prudent course, Roy? Just to approve what we've already seen and move on?
If you're comfortable with it, not postpone it. It's okay.
Yeah, we can look at them again next month.
I mean, I looked at it enough to know that there were decisions to be made. That we.
There's a lot of that. I went through that thing in detail, and somebody did a lot of work. There's no doubt about that. But I would like to have more time with it.
Okay.
That's fine.
Yeah, I think tabling it is the best.
Okay. Is there a motion to table?
I would make the motion to table.
Hearing a motion.
Second.
Second. Any other discussion? All in favor? Table? Aye. To table that motion. That makes that pretty simple. Let's move on to item 13.
These are professional services agreements with SKM, who is actually a division of Aqua Engineering. I've used them for a lot of years, but they are a SCADA company that they specialize in SCADA systems. Right now we're using Delco. They're extremely difficult to work with. And the SCADA system we have is really not a true SCADA system. It's just kind of like looking at a set of gauges. The other one will give you, when we actually get a true SCADA system on, it'll start to give us real reports on what's going on, times things are running, what the amperage history is like, all kinds of things that you make decisions on your infrastructure. So I'll start working with these guys, if it's okay with the board.
Yes.
They're the same, just like, again, same type of people trying to get on board. They're the type that don't bill you for everything, you just come up, they'll take care of stuff. They're very on top of stuff, very personable, and they deal with the problems inexpensively. Delco is expensive and kind of arrogant at times to deal with, and so I'd kind of move away from that. Okay. But we have a number of SCADA issues that we need to resolve. So anyway, I'd recommend that we use them. I've used them before, and they're good people. It's a really good organization. And then also you see there Johnson Electric. Again, we use them as our electrician, as our go-to organization.
So there's a couple of things on there. Trustees, what questions do you have about those two items?
Anyway, I'd recommend them. They're good people.
How do their hourly rates compare to the hourly rates of the existing contractors we're using?
Yeah, SKM's, I probably should include something. SKM's rates are lower than the others, and others have been. Johnson Electric's comparable. Probably the thing I noticed with them is that they don't gouge you and they don't look for things to bill you for. They are fair always in how they bill you. Usually more over the years, that's the things that I always noticed about both those guys is that I never had to really question too much about it. I always felt like I got a fair shake on everything. I don't want to be negative, but it didn't feel like it was like CRS. You have to question everything that's happening. Is going. But I was comfortable and confident in their work performance. Okay. And the amount that they charged me.
Did you look at the terms and conditions, the boilerplate terms and conditions? Because that seems like we got in trouble with CRS with a bunch of boilerplate terms and conditions. And did you actually review them?
I haven't. No. If you want to, I'll make sure to do that prior to doing anything.
Okay.
Great. Then we've had some discussion. I'll entertain a motion for both of those. I think it ought to be formalized.
I move that we use SKM for the SCADA system and Johnson Electric as the district engineer.
Great.
Or electrician. Excuse me.
Understand?
Stop it. Second.
A motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Item number 14.
I'll have Blake help us a little bit on this one, but we talked to him about the gentleman that has wanted to annex in the district, Lonnie Martinez and his wife. They have a piece of property right at the end of
Abbey Way.
It's on the far north end.
Yeah.
It was planned for their property to come in based on the connections and the end of the cul-de-sac and everything, but they were not a part of the subdivision. So it's a single connection. You just have to tap into the services there.
Sewer only. We already issued a will serve letter, haven't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's no problem with that.
You can do that.
Yeah.
But we gotta get the petition, and because he hasn't been receiving services for over a year, it has to be through a petition instead of a resolution by the board, so I drafted a petition form.
It's in there.
And it's in there, so.
That's
great.
It's all good.
If you're, do you have any questions on that? But let's
it's
have
a
motion.
Single connection.
Yeah. He actually built a well himself.
Yeah, I saw him do the well.
Did you? Yeah. He's not going to do anything else with it but one home.
Okay.
Motion?
I'll make a motion. We approve the Martinez property for annexation.
Thank you. And seconded. Thank you. If there are no other questions, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Item number 15, the action on the desert fence.
So we talked the last year or so about the damaged fences around the sewer lagoons. Last year we kind of fixed them ourselves and tolerated their terrible repair. This year we acquired a few bids to go in and just do touch-up work on them. So we're going to have to pull the fabric back up. The snow's caused some of the downs to the cows, which stomp up, stamped in the ground. Don't have a chance to look at it. Plus a lot of the barbed wires down, gone. The posts are broken. It's pretty bad. So this is just repair work, is all it is. At some point we need a new fence, but again we have to decide what's going to happen with the property because the cost of the new fence is about $100,000 to put the newer style, heavier gauge, commercial type fence in. But this is only a 5-foot chain link they put in with barbed wire on it. But it's adequate to keep the animals out if it's fixed. Deseret Fence was both a fair price. We actually had Roy Lance was a little bit cheaper, but their understanding and talking to them about what they were going to do was not as good. And then, first I can remember the name, the other one, I should, probably should have had it on. another fencing company, they said, sure, we'll just come fix it. But Deseret said, he basically went through and said, I'll put that post in, I'll do that, I'll string that wire, I'll put this piece of wire in here. So we understood the detail of what he was going to do, and very comfortable with the cost, and I think the bid's in the packet.
It's in the packet.
About $10,000.
Is there any role for electrifying this fence with a portable solar charging battery unit? I mean, if the cows are taking it down, I'm sure they're going to stop now that we got a new fence.
Yeah, we could do it.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure about the cows, because Andy said the cows had to drink, so he could have taken it.
You can't win them all, can you?
Well, and also there's a lot of unlocked gates.
And down so you make sure the cows
had a drink.
I don't know. I mean,
but for liability purposes, we need to do this.
Yeah, we're a huge risk right now without a decent fence. So kids can walk in, get in there.
How many feet of fence is it?
Is he going to put in?
685 feet.
Yeah, I'd say about 1,000 that he'll probably end up repairing, but mostly barbed wire was all smashed and trashed. The problem with the fence is it's residential grade, and just the snow weight itself will crush it every single year. So at some point, we're either going to keep the lagoons and do something with them, and which means put real fencing around them and do all the right things. So we're going to have to repair it again next year if we don't.
Okay.
So this will fix it up, and we can electrify it. We could do that. We just put those
scanners
out.
Yeah.
What I've seen trying to keep cows out of Hidden Lake Pond, if they're thirsty, they'll go through anything.
They just lean on until it falls down.
Unless you have something that's a really high voltage electric fence.
They're through a hunter?
We've had a lot of places.
Cow hunter?
We've had a lot of places where on that fence where the hunters actually shot ducks in there and send the dogs in to get them. They'll cut the fence as the dog will win.
Wash off the dog, put it in the truck.
Raw sewage, saw my dog.
Yeah.
Not working dark.
Along those lines, though, that property is actually part of the Powder Mountain CWMU. And if the property is part of a CWMU, we have a lot of teeth to enforce trespassing laws for hunting.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, literally, if you're on a CWMU and you're not permitted to be there, you can seize property, you can take their house, you can take their home, or you're in their car. I mean, it's crazy.
Wow. What is that, Mark? A CW?
A Cooperative Wildlife Management Unit. Okay. And we put it in place just for that reason, to to keep people from poaching and trespassing on our property and hunting, unauthorized.
Yeah, it's probably worth doing because they're definitely going in there, and I don't know if it's after deer or after
you might want to put up a game cam and see if we can catch people out there and identify them, because if we can, we can prosecute. So.
Okay.
Gotcha. Is there a motion then on the fence after the discussion? Make a motion.
I move that we accept Desert Fence for repair of sewer lagoon fence.
I'll second.
Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Great. Item I, India. Terry Zinger and Ron Wilson.
All right. We're going to go through the PTIF and the bank accounts really quick. PTIF account has $101,468 in it. And the bank accounts have, the general has $84,246. The impact fund has got $51,600 in it. And the bond account has $7,090 in it. The $7,000 is what we had previously, we'll discuss that. But we released three liens. Yay. And there is supposedly, isn't the tax sale this Thursday?
Tax sale is Thursday.
Okay, the tax sale is Thursday, and there's supposedly two properties that's going to be, we'll see how that turns out, but that would be very nice if it did. Not going to lie. So we're hoping that that comes through. He's looking at me, and I know what he's thinking because we had this conversation yesterday, but the tax sale's Thursday, so hopefully we can recoup from that.
Which properties are
these? There was one. It's, he lives in Hawaii. What's his name? I can't remember. No, it's not Bob. I can't remember what his name is.
Gotta go, guys.
And then the other one was Powder Ridge. And then I did get, there's been a phone conversation on another parcel in Sheep Creek that is not supposed to go to, it would be next year for the sale, but evidently the bank's going to foreclose, and as soon as they foreclose, we'll get a check on that.
What's a Powder Ridge?
All I know is they're going to do tax sale, so we'll see how well it goes.
Probably went out as a public notice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it went out as a public notice. The tax sale's Thursday. I don't know the time.
And
yeah.
Is it Zanetti?
No. It's nobody up there. I can't remember what the guy's name is.
How much is the taxes owing on it?
On his is almost $6,000. On the one that they're going to do the sale on, the foreclosure on, is almost $5,000.
That's and in Sheep Creek?
Yeah, they're both in Sheep Creek. And then Powder Ridge is $33,000 and some change.
That's just our money, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
that's just what
taxes,
they owe us.
Oh, but that's, there's other taxes?
There's other tax liens. But that's their portion of what they owe us.
You do a really good job.
Doesn't Powder Ridge
really good
pay commonly as a group, Powder Ridge?
Not the one slab.
Not the one slab, gotcha.
That's the one.
Okay. Well, there's actually, I understand, the maps I've seen are three.
Yeah, there's three different ones. There's a total of 30 connections.
Bring Mark come in.
Yeah, that's Mark. There's a total of 30 connections in that
HRAS?
One particular.
HRAS is going up.
Hey, just in time.
Oh, I talked to John Bond. He called me last week. We went over the information, and he was trying to work something out with some certain people, and I don't know how that's turned out. He just told me he'd let me know after Thursday what was going on. That's
okay.
All I know.
So we'll be bringing in about $40,000.
If everything goes accordingly, yeah.
That helps.
Yeah.
So I explained this to Carrie, that she was concerned about the notices that went out and the letter. The taxes will be paid first. They're
mm-hmm.
the first priority on this, and then we will get our fees. So.
But the lien on the tax sale covers everything. And, you know, and I'll tell you to the trustees, Carrie's done a nice job of staying on top of that. Just when I think, I wonder if we've done that, I'll call. Oh, I did that, da-da-da-da, go. like that. You know, and I'm impressed. I mean, and every time, not one time is she ever, I can commend you, Carrie. You're on
Thank
top
you.
Of that. That's good.
Thank you.
Okay, is there anything else for Ms. Zinger, Mr. Wilson, anything else? Well, we'll welcome into the room, just coming in, Mr. Mark Miller, which is our engineer. We'll move back to item F, like Foxtrot on the agenda, and item 3, the PRUD agreement. Welcome, Mr. Miller.
Thank you. This is on Horizon, where we were talking about those easements inside of
a
community development where, so if you want for a second, I'm just telling what it's about. So on Horizon Village, there's an agreement that we have with the developer on the maintenance of the water and sewer lines that are in there. Under the agreement, it indicates that the district will not take care of those water lines. However, back in the approvals, CRS, I guess, as they reviewed those, basically said we would take care of them. So we've got to clear that up, because under a
in a private development like that, it's impossible for a public entity to care for water and sewer lines that are underneath of structures. And they have those catwalks and everything going in there, and you know where I'm at, Horizon,
yeah.
Or Horizon Village. And so the water lines and the sewer lines are not in public easements, dedicated easements, and they are also under structures, which would make it impossible for us to take care of. But it was indicated under the, what do they call it, the covenants or the...
it was actually the dedication.
On the dedication plat?
Yeah.
That the district the would maintain the sewer lines.
Well, yeah. So the, you know how the dedication dedicates easements? The dedicated easements for the maintenance of general wording, storm drain, maintenance and restoration or replacement of, and then it says have the common language of storm drain, water, sewer, whatever. So you have the general dedication to the district in that instance for the easements for that purpose. Now, I've seen attorneys interpret that differently. Did that actually dedicate the water line in there to the district, or did it not? And in this case, you actually have a separate agreement, as I understand, wherein we said, yeah, we'll take the main lines, meaning the 8-inch water lines in there. The challenge is that you have structures over the top of them. Your easements do say on the recorded plat there will be no structures constructed over the main lines. So, or other impediments. So I would almost recommend that you come up with a different agreement. Says, okay, if the structures are going to stay there, we probably ought to turn the maintenance of those water lines. And by the way, going forward, you should never accept a water line in a PRUD. The PRUD is, it's my recommendation that you start and end with PRUD boundary. That's most commonly done, but you can do it however you want. That's just my recommendation. But in this instance, I do think you ought to revise your agreement in some form, because the water lines that you're currently responsible for are underneath, they're impeded.
Was this agreement made by CRS independently of the district to maintain
this agreement has not been executed.
It hasn't been executed yet.
So as we started looking at that, and I started talking to Mark about it, and looking at the language in it, and I talked to Don Hascop, he is reviewing it. We thought maybe we'd actually have it signed by now, but I'm glad maybe we have it, as Mark came on board and we started looking at the problems associated with it. And then we started pulling the plans to see what the district already was responsible for on the dedications, and it appeared that somehow somebody given the green light to say we will maintain those sewer lines in those.
I said water.
Yeah, but is it water and sewer? I can't remember.
I think we got water lines.
Is there any referencing in the development agreement to this issue? Did you?
I didn't ever see anything in it.
Okay.
But it all just seems to be an error.
Okay.
So I was going to, we wanted to bring it up, suggest that we probably work with Don Gore on this and clean this thing up, bring it back to the board. And we'll make sure that they assume responsibility for the water lines and sewer lines on the private property.
Within the PRUD boundaries.
Yeah.
So this isn't an actionable item, this is for information.
Yeah, I'd really like to know what's going on, so don't blindside you with anything.
Got it.
But we'll work on getting it cleaned up, and I think we're okay. Don seems to be amenable to doing that. But again, there's already existing language, there's already existing plats out there. I don't know where it's going to go. We're going to have to change any of that stuff? I don't know, Mark.
I don't think so. I really don't think, Blake, correct me if I'm wrong, but there have been instances that I've seen an owner's dedication by mistake dedicated an obvious private detention pond or something to a community, and then the community's council came back to me and said, sorry, we own it. But I think the wording in this is general enough that you'll probably interpret it and say, look, they dedicated the easements, and that doesn't necessarily mean the water lines are ours.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to see the agreement.
Yeah.
Bottom line is, you're in the business of having easements, not, so I don't think that this is going to be a problem, but I agree that if there's some issue with respect to private water lines underneath, you know, in a PRUD, like...
Not in roadways, by the way.
Not in roadways.
Yeah, or pathways.
Yeah, and they're obstructed by structures. Like, I mean, we want the private property owner to have responsibility over those and not us.
I mean, in the future, we possibly could figure something out, but we'd have to have clear open easements and right-of-ways and public roads. And
so if Don is agreeable to it, I mean, if someone's agreeable to it, I think we get that worked out and do it. Okay.
Yeah, so we'll work on it.
It hasn't been signed, it sounds like, so. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that, so that's good.
That is good.
Okay.
Okay.
Our next one is the report on the new well.
Okay.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Do you want me to forward you the thing?
So, some in the room, this is redundant, but Zim came out. There was the proposed change order to get them an extension of June 15th. So they came out in good faith, and they got their down pipe into the well, which was a little over 1,000 feet. They tried to get the pump down. We wanted it around 1,000 feet. My eyes aren't great, Roy, but I think it's 1,120 feet. They about 980 feet. They were starting to jam the bowls, and they didn't want to push them in there and get them stuck. And our hydrogeologist felt like it was plenty deep. He would have preferred they get closer to 1,000, but he said he thinks we'll be just fine because our screen started about 700 feet. So he thinks we're going to be okay. It brought up a fascinating issue, which was that plumbness and alignment testing, that was never performed. We thought Wittison did it. Wittison said they were contracted by Zim to do it. But the Zim called them a few weeks ago and said, no, we're not going to have you do that. So I emailed Zim and said, we just found out you haven't done that, so you still need to do it. Now, it's not going to surprise me if it doesn't meet the spec because of the rock that they got into. Won't be a big deal. I mean, typically if you're, you know, a lot of wells, I've got 5 foot deep wells in places where we're setting the pump at 265 feet. So it really is a function of how our drawdown works on this. And if we're drawing down that far, let's say that we started pumping and we drew the water level down to 900 and some odd feet, you're creating some real potential geologic hazards in the surrounding area, because as you can envision subsurface, everything's under hydrostatic pressure, and all of a sudden you take that pressure off and you're going to get some movements, and so it's not good to do that geologically. So we're hoping the drawdown isn't that severe, but naturally we'll test it. We'll kind of do some different things as we're pumping to see what causes your drawdown curves of parabola. And what we're hoping is that it's not like this, you know, it doesn't just dive. It will at first, but, you know, you kind of try to find the sustainable yield for the well, which we will find. And I think the 980-foot deep on the bowls are going to be fine. We'll have a turbine pump on top, so it won't be a submersible, which is great. So, but anyway, they left last Friday. They tried to get up there, so they spun out in their truck. You have four-wheel drive trucks. But naturally they left and then let us know that they were gone. But I think they said we had some mechanicals, they had some mechanicals, and that it was snowing and they needed to get home. And so our Scott Clark, our hydrogeologist, sent you the very informative email, which was great. Scott and I have been talking several times a day. I sent one out. In fact, I told Roy, I was laughing this morning, I told Roy I felt really bad about the one I sent to Kurt Zimmer yesterday, because I was telling him that rain forecasted in Utah is really not rain, you know.
Sorry for the 3 inches of snow.
Basically, I said, you know, in Utah, it rains here and there, but it rained a little today. It's sunny now, and then I wake up this morning and see, I got to go change that email, so because it's raining. And so and we can't really tell them. Once we've given them till June 15th, we can't tell them how to perform their contract. That's in the all general conditions. So I did request Curtis to get back with me, or Kurt to get back with me and let me know what they're going to do. He hasn't responded as of, 2 o'clock today on my email, but we're just looking to find out when they're getting back. If they aren't here before June 1st, which is when Scott Clark, a hydrogeologist, leaves, won't be the end of the world, because we'll have transducers in the well. We found the old well head yesterday, so we'll have a transducer there to try to monitor. We'll be looking at the interaction between the two wells, and we'll be doing that via computer with the transducers. And so if Scott's gone, I'll do it, so it's not the end of the world. So we're still on track with the June 15th. They haven't asked for an extension. I guess by the contract, it probably could if it keeps raining like this. But they don't seem to indicate that. Now, another good thing is, as you look at along that same lines, as you look at this, we've got 60 hours of well development at $270 an hour. Neither Scott nor I think we're going to need anywhere near 60 hours. That's what we use down here, where we get into more, you'll get a gravel layer that has a lot of sand, and you work that aquifer to where you're only drawing through a clean surface. And in this case, we're really relying on fractures, cracks, interfaces, in this case, the limestone with the quartzite. So you're really not going to need the well development, we don't think, that you normally would. Now, the Bloomington well was a different story, because you had a layer there that has, is creating some turbidity. So we doubt we'll need the full 60 hours. So once they get back, we ought to be able to finish up quickly. We do need to either, I don't know why it wasn't on this contract, state requires you to seal the old well. You just have to fill it full of grout from the bottom to top, and then certify that it's sealed, and then abandoning the whole well. We might be able to talk the state into letting us use it as a monitoring well if we find the transducers are telling us information about our well. Then the state engineer will say, yeah, great, just keep it there, use it as a monitoring well. But if it's not telling us anything, we'll just fill it up with grout.
So is that that'll
be a change order. It's not going to be a lot of money, but it's just something that has to be done by the well driller and certified by the well driller.
Given its depth, would it be a proxy for Pizzell Springs, that upstream springs? Because that's not very deep, is it?
No. Well, as I understand, it's collapsed to...
Who knows?
300, right?
Okay.
So we'll probably only be filling up 300 feet, so...
Not really?
I really don't know how much it's going to tell us, but Scott does seem to think it may tell us something. And a well next to another well is always a good thing, because it just helps you measure that, the drawdown and everything else. So if nothing else, I'm happy that it's there for the purposes of our well testing, our step rate drawdown test. So
I didn't know there was another well there. I thought it was Pizzell Springs was there. And that's where we got the most of our water, and then we were, drilling this new well. So there's been a well there that has not been used.
It collapsed. Yeah, that was the old Cobay well.
And this well is technically a replacement well,
yeah,
not a new well.
That's why the contract says replacement.
It's a replacement well.
Mm-hmm. That's why you got the permit to drill the new one, is it's replacing the old one. And they had some photographs, and I had a metal detector, and we had shovels, most importantly, so we were able to find it. Mm. So,
okay.
Roy wouldn't let me stop digging until we found it.
It's only 3 feet of dirt.
They're not going to try to give charge us any fees for them leaving and then returning, are they?
No, they were, and Kurt was really good about that when I quizzed him initially about remote and demote.
Right.
He's like, of course not, we're not going to charge you for that, so... Them leaving, them coming back, and there really isn't new remob or demob because the equipment stayed outside.
So the pump will be not a submersible pump; it'll be sitting on top.
Yes, and you've seen it.
I saw the one that's there now. Yeah. That's just a temporary.
So what you have is we'll end up likely, you know, we'll decide what we want, but right now you have your bowls in the bottom, right, that spin and create that lift. And so whether you drive that from the top or submersible, now for the actual pump, it'll likely be submersible, but we, you know, you just never know. So we'll make that recommendation later on.
Okay.
So if your production is minimal, then you put a smaller pump down in there, or?
We've got a Home Depot. Great. A little sweeper pump.
Drop a hose in.
Stop it. Stop
it. Suck it out.
Stop it.
Yeah, okay, let's go.
Super. I've got your meeting with your county engineers on the Summit infrastructure issue map.
So, yeah, that meeting wasn't really going. It was just, I kept trying to focus on resolution of, so, Mr. Chair, you were in the last meeting, and it seemed pretty vague, and so I was trying, in that meeting, I recommended that we meet to just with engineers only to talk about resolution of the problems, to get our heads together to say, okay, what can we do to resolve these problems? We weren't getting any help in the meeting, and so I just said, look, we'll create a map. The map will show all of the problems, and there it'll state the problem, the resolution, and the expected cost. And that will serve as the basis for the different entities to get together and sit down and say, oh, and there'll be a table off to the right side that says total, you know, everything will be tabulated. And then, according to Jared with the county, their county engineer, even though he kept saying in the meeting, I think Summit's going to have to just pay for everything. He said, well, in all likelihood, the parties, meaning Granite, us, them, and potentially their design engineer, are just going to decide who's paying for what and maybe split, I don't know. And so I don't know who he's been talking to, but he just... Yeah. So,
he's committed
anyway,
to something.
Jared seemed to think, and the only reason I bring it up is because I do think he was talking to someone, and that's sort of what the impression he gave me was that they were going to resolve it by saying, okay, it looks like it's going to cost us this much to solve. Let's, you know,
split it around.
Yeah, and so that's the impression I got. But for me, the important thing is that we really do need a map. There's just too many, as you discuss these, each of the issues, you sit and spend 5 minutes getting everybody on the same page of where it is, and then what it looks like and everything else is just too vague. And so Roy's agreed to just kind of highlight the areas and show where they are, and then I'll come up with a cost estimate for that, and I'll have a little leader coming off of the location, little box, and then I'll have the tabulation, and then I think that serves as the basis of our punch list.
Okay.
So
that works for me.
Yeah.
Except for that.
Do you think that this can be solved this summer? Or are we going to be in a bog sand all summer? You know, a bunch of guys sitting around talking. I'm worried.
Do I think it's going to be resolved?
I'm concerned about, you know, we're going into another season.
Yeah.
Building permits, occupancy.
Yeah.
Permits, contingency building permits.
Yeah, and Roy and I have some plans. Like, I would say our biggest challenge. So we've got some plans about how do we keep the lines from freezing.
Right.
And I think we'll be able to accomplish those things for this upcoming year. Let's say that we had a year as bad as this year or worse. I think we'll be able to keep the main lines, you know, from freezing. And then as the laterals are connected, they can be reinstalled properly. The biggest concern I have going forward is that there's no structure over the top of the generators and lift stations. and we don't have access to those. And one community I represented for 20 years had 18 of them, and we were working on those constantly. Sewer pumps go down, you're going to need to replace them. That's why you have three in there. You have a lead, lag, and a standby, and you always have them on the shelf so that you can just go replace, because they just, they're a maintenance item. And the situation you guys had yourselves in this year with wet wells, where the pumps are, that are buried under snow, is, I think if you entered another year in that situation, you'd be crazy. Unless you had a maintenance program that had those uncovered all year long. And that doesn't mean you have to uncover them immediately as the snowstorm happens, but within a day, you've got to do that. So, and on the new subdivisions that I've reviewed, a big thing for me has been, okay, not only do we need a very clearly defined right-of-way to that wet well and your transformer and your generator, but you need an easement that allows you to blow snow onto the neighboring property, because where else are you going to put it? So if you're going down 20 feet, you've got to do something with the snow. And if you have two homeowners that are saying, hey, you can't put snow on our property, what are you going to do with the snow? So that's an issue that I just don't think you can design a wet well at the back of people's property, have a 20-foot easement down it, and then expect to be able to get to it without those people being inconvenienced in some fashion. It's unfortunate, but it's a fact of life. I mean, if the wet wells were away from, I don't like them being on side property lines, just because people don't like, they don't like you guys going in there to, you know, work on a pump station. But the fact that they are, and the new ones are proposed to be that way as well, that's a bigger issue. Okay. So
a couple of things could fix those. Of course, if we could gravity feed the sewage out down Lefty somewhere, we could get rid of a lot of those lift stations. The other is a problem that we just need to consider as a district, is that those are costs that we're going to have to add on to the people up there. And you know, you have staff cleaning snow, you're going to have to be on maintenance on those buildings, and that means personnel and people up there night and day, and it gets expensive, and the prices are going to be expensive to take care of that stuff. So.
I guess we just need a proposal. I mean, what, you know, what, I can't tell what we're going to deal with yet.
Yeah, so I think we can bring that back to you as we get into this. We just,
yeah, I don't think we have an update on that for you yet. No. It is something that we will propose to you soon.
Okay, great.
The only reason I brought that up is that's the one that doesn't seem like there's an immediate solution for it.
And critical.
We do have solutions for frozen air vacs and stuff like that, so.
So the last item was a source reduction. You guys know you should have.
It's in there.
You should have a copy of that, the newest version of the source water reduction report.
It's under number.
That John just barely sent out, so it's. They should have it in the package so they can look at it.
Mark.
And
there's
a copy for Don.
You guys probably don't have it. Well, I don't know. I got to tell you, this was. So we used. A lot of JD's information. The reason the state didn't like the
engineer.
Well, yeah.
Backwards.
Let me just kind of bring everybody up to date on this. It's kind of fascinating. So, JD with Laughlin had proposed a method to do the source capacity reduction, which included, okay, the pump turns on here, it shuts off here, the level in the reservoir changes this amount. And he was doing that over different periods. The state said, no, we don't know what that pump's producing, and you can't prove it to us. We looked at Paul's data, and it looked like he was trying to just grab. So, you have 30,000 data points. That's what you need to know to start with. So you have 30,000 data points. Now, how are we going to work with that to prove to the state that this works? So it's a huge challenge. We can't figure out what Paul was trying to do. And I'm not putting him down for that. I'm just saying it looked like he was just he was grabbing certain dates and trying to say, okay, here's our peak. Cameron originally seemed like she was going along with what JB had done at Laughlin. But then she outright rejected it afterwards. And she said, you have to prove to us for 24 hours that this is your peak day. Challenge with that is you've got 30,000 data points. So fortunately, I've got some really sharp guys in the office, and they used pivot tables, and they were able to get that data shrunk down. And ironically, and I'm so happy this happened, your peak actually happened on a President's Day on a Sunday, which was, that's exactly what I would have prayed for, because it corresponds to a high ski day that you would normally see. And so it kind of validates what our data is showing. And so the usage from 17, 18, 19 actually dropped. And you see that in the one table. It's gone down each year, which means you're fixing leaks. And so we had to make a couple of assumptions that we're praying are okay with her. We've clarified it. One of them is the 80,000 gallon tank, and the other one next to it. There's no way for us to know how full they are, so we're just saying they're full. And then the other one down the hill a little ways, we're saying they're full. Once the Hidden Lake tank's full, they're full, is what we're saying. What's funny is you're overflowing the Hidden Lake tanks 2.5 feet lower than the top of the 80,000 gallon tank, so you never could use all that capacity. So we have the data broken down well enough that you can't, we really can't provide her more data. So the analysis we've done is exactly what she's asked for. 24-hour period, we've done several of them, and we were able, out of those 30,000 data points, to use those pivot tables to get it to a format that we could understand and she could understand it. So we're crossing our fingers that she finally says, okay, this is enough. But even if she doesn't, all she can do is say, well, prove to me that tank's full. Well, we'll go figure out, we'll measure it, you know. But the good thing is we've crunched the numbers, we've done everything we can possibly do, we've broken everything down. I should note that Paul seemed quite interested to know how much of his data we used, because he wants to be paid for some of it, and I told him very little, if any, and that's true.
And we paid him a lot for it.
Yeah, already, so. but we just didn't need his data, and no. I mean, there's some background information that maybe we grabbed, but the first submittal, you know, we had the main thing was using JB's information and calculating our ERCs and doing that manipulation, but once it became clear that they were going to settle for anything but this very elaborate, you know, break all those 30,000 data points down to prove to us. And we've done it. But the pivot tables allow you to do that. And so it's done, and we'll see where they come back. If nothing else, we've chipped away the majority of the iceberg. So if they can ask us anything else, at least most of the work's done.
That's a little bit of tweaking here and there to get
it
right.
Well, she said, prove to me that tank's full. We'll just have Jed go look at the tank until the other one fills up or whatever. So.
Okay. Super. Questions for Mr. Miller?
Well, this is, again, is probably as important a thing as anything that's happening, too, is get this source water reduction document approved and done, and helps us to move along in our development process for the developers.
So at the end of this, we're looking at a reduction to 450 GPD from 800?
Yeah.
Okay.
And as a district, of course, we want to always be conservative. And that's a very conservative number. Mm-hmm. If you look at the one table in there, you'll see three, they're all in the 300. So it's very safe as a district. It's good for Summit. It's good for us. I think I feel very good about it. So 450 is a number I feel great about. I felt good about 400, but it doesn't look like we're going to get that.
Okay.
So, Mark, and once this, the boards, if they're comfortable with what you're saying, I need to send a letter to the state saying this is, the district is in support of this and wants this approved and the board's comfortable with it. So we just need, if there's any questions now, let me know. If not, I guess I'll go ahead and send a letter off to saying the district is one who's wanting this done.
Okay. I'm good with that. Trustees?
Yep.
Is Cameron being user-friendly in essence, or is she like a roadblock here?
Cameron's not a roadblock, and she is very good to respond. Her response time is very good. But I do think that it's my suspicion that her employer's kind of, she's a little passive-aggressive, and she's trying to work with us, but I think that her supervisor is kind of beating her up a little bit and saying, you know, looking skeptically at things is what I should. But I think we've got adequate proof, and she knows, she'll be able to see that you couldn't be more thorough than what we've been, and so I think that she's got. And I get why everyone's avoided tackling the 30,000 data points, but we've done it now. So what more do you want from us?
Great.
We've taken all those points and we've used them and we've proved. So I she's not bad to work with.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Well, also the fact that your peak demand trend line is trending down over time. And
yeah.
I think you are being conservative, and I think hopefully they see that and respond well to it.
I do too, and I think the 450 is very protective of the district, and I think it's fair to sum it. So
yeah.
Okay. So we're probably just gonna have the board give us a motion to go ahead and submit the letter to request.
Yeah, no, we went ahead and submitted it to Cameron just to get in our queue,
right.
but we did. Knowing that we would get Roy's letter if the board approved, we could always pull it out of her queue, but we wanted to just be in there.
Great.
Okay.
Questions, trustees? Any? Then let's move on. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn our board meeting and move into
a... Do we need a motion to support
the report? We're going to need a motion to approve this, or allow me to board, for the board to approve the source water reduction report, and for me to send a letter to the state asking them to... accepted or not the right term.
So move what Roy just said.
to approve this document.
Okay. I move that we approve the reduction plan, the source reduction plan, and authorize Roy to submit a letter to the appropriate state officials acknowledging our support of the plan.
Second. Thank you. Any, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Is there anything else we need on that, Mr. Hamilton? Thank you. So now we're official. Thank you, Mr. Miller. I'm going to entertain a motion now that we adjourn our public meeting for a closed strategy session to discuss the acquisition of real property, including any form of water right and any pending or reasonable imminent litigation.
I'll make a motion that we adjourn to private session.
Have a motion.
A second.
And a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Carrie, go ahead and get her...